Good morning.
Am I on here? Oh my goodness. Good morning and welcome. If you're joining us online, we welcome you. Those of you in person, good to see you. Nice to be out here on a beautiful sunny day. The next couple of days are going to be a little bit different from what I'm told, so just to be aware of that. The election, did everybody vote? You know, some, especially presidential years, I've had years when I have a specific candidate that I favor, and there have been years when that candidate has been defeated, and I felt really put out, and I felt like, I'm just going to move to another country. Have you ever felt that discouraged? You know, there's Canada, which is kind of cold, and there's Mexico, which is plenty warm, but I've been thinking about Switzerland. Their flag is a big plus. It's a pun, you need, never mind, we don't need to go to that any further. Lots of things going on, we're approaching Advent. Today we pause and acknowledge veterans briefly. On the back of the bulletin you see some of the other things going on. We're coming up on church conference. We have lots of things to do there. What other items by way of agenda do we need to lift to be preparing as we are coming into this busier season? What things do we need to share? Paya, what are we forgetting? What didn't we get announced in the bulletin? I didn't hear what she said. No? Okay. All right. I'm not aware of anything other as well, but there are lots of things kind of up in the air right now. So we look forward to a beautiful Advent season. There's discussion about changing our Christmas Eve worship time to 4 o'clock. And I want you to give some thought to that, give feedback to us, give the feedback to Mark or me or, you know, anybody so that we can know how that would work. It would make it easier for some people who do not drive in the dark to be able to get here, and some people would be able to do the Christmas Eve service and then have time with family. So just give some thought to that and let us know what your feelings are, and we're exploring that. Other things for the good of the order, things that we need to be aware of as we prepare, as we are about being in worship. All right, let's set all of those agenda items aside. Let's be in worship, shall we? Stand, wave hello to one another, and let's prepare for our call to worship.
Hey, everybody.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. Hola.
Yeah, hola.
How do you say it in Spain? It's the same. Hola.
Hola. In Espanol. Yeah. Okay. So now let's all join in the call to worship. Lord God, hear your family gathered here. To you we lift up our eyes to where you are enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. Lord, we have had more than enough of the contempt of those who hold power in this world. Lord, strengthen us to continue to hold ourselves accountable to you before all others. And please remain standing for the opening hymn.
And our opening hymn is number 2175 in the Faith We Sing book. Words are on the... And this is Colleen. You remember her? She's playing for us today.
We pray.
be seated.
The first scripture lesson today comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. And it's on page 195 in your pew Bible in the New Testament. Now, we command you, beloved, in the name... Wait, I need to make sure I'm on the right one. I am. Okay, sorry about that. We command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We acknowledged Veterans Day on Friday was the official day, but in our church we paused to acknowledge that and to acknowledge all who have served. And so I would just like to ask you, if you served or with a family that served, if you will stand and let us give you thanks for your service. Amen, amen. And as we are here and gathered and contemplating veterans, contemplate those who are away from home, who are serving now, and who are lonely. May the Spirit of Christ reach out across distances, near and far, and may we celebrate as a people of Christ. Amen? By way of our time of prayer, the back of the bulletin you see some of the prayer concerns and celebrations. May I share your... Dawn is still waiting to hear, so we have been continuing to pray, but decisions have not been made, apparently, or they have not let you know, and so don't we love waiting? Okay, Sammy is listed here in the hospital, and so we want to be sure and acknowledge that he is home and doing okay, right? Is he stable, Don?
Yeah, he's stable. He's managing his diabetes.
Okay, managing his diabetes and doing well. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers as well, so we continue those. Are there other concerns you'd like to lift this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Holly, why don't you come forward as Mike goes over to Renee?
Yeah.
Go right up in there. Get up to
the microphone. Hello. I'm having ankle replacement surgery on the 21st. So putting my hands in the hands, putting me in the hands of the great physician again. And I won't see you all for a while, but I'll be watching online.
Okay, ankle replacement surgery.
Anyway.
Wow.
Just a couple things. Well, me too, but my husband and his family in your prayers. His father passed away on Tuesday. He was 95 and not doing well, so it's a blessing in many ways, but we're still sad. And so,
Bob's dad's name?
Bob's dad. His name is Charles Armstrong.
Charles. Okay.
Yeah. And then, for most of you know, I'm having health issues. I have recurrent cancer that's metastasized to my bones. I'm going for a PET scan again on Thursday, so just pray for some good results. That's
Amen.
All. So, thank
right,
you.
Thank you. Bob Armstrong's dad, Charles. Okay. Please, Ruby.
As Interfaith Food Bank has recently been hit really, really hard, I pray for food for people that are really, really hungry this year and this season especially.
Okay. Food for the hungry through Interfaith. Ruby is our contact there and does good work, and we are grateful for that. We have had an election this last week, and we need to just pray. We need to pray for some calming of tensions, of melting of divisions, of some coming together of peoples. So I ask that in prayer. Any others? By way of celebrations, did you have a good birthday for Serenity? 4 years young, you're wonderful. That was last Friday. This coming Tuesday, Audrey and Alex Burns celebrating an anniversary. How many years for them? Anybody know?
Oh, gosh.
A few?
Bella's 10, maybe 11 this year? I don't know. 10 or 11. It's good.
10 or 11. Okay, so we celebrate either way. And Alex, besides all that, has a birthday on Friday. He's going to be 30, so we celebrate that. I have another young lady here on Saturday. She's celebrating a birthday. Jeanette Boyles, 89 years young. Is that right? Happy birthday to you. Did you want to say anything? We'll bring the microphone to you if you want to say something or no.
I'm just glad to be here.
Glad to be here. All right. Glad to have you here and glad to have family and all of that. I have that Virginia, I understand your sister has a birthday on Sunday. Linnell Franklin will be 98. Amen, huh? She's trying to catch up with her sister. Good luck catching you, I'll tell you what. Celebrations of birthdays. Any others? Any other birthdays or special celebrations or anniversaries? All right. Verdant crops, beauty of the fall season, the coming of winter, the promise of Advent, that we have much to be thankful for. Amen. Let's turn to our unison prayer and let us pray responsively. Lord, hear your people praying. In this time of prayer, we humbly ask your attentiveness. We come before you with our concerns and celebrations. Guide us to be aware of the things that we need to be mindful of, to satisfy your righteousness. As we live amidst a world of competing agendas, guide and empower us to seek only your will for us. Strengthen those who are weak, and strengthen us in our weaknesses. Guide us to be always faithful in all places. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving, caring, blessing Creator God, we come before you. And as we pause, we acknowledge that you are always with us and that your gifts continue with us always. And through Christ, you have blessed us and prospered us. And through gifts and graces, you have blessed us to be the people we are. We confess that we haven't always used your gifts as you have called us to use them. We confess that sometimes we have squandered our abilities. And we confess that sometimes we've just gotten tired and didn't do all that we should have been doing. But as we have continued forward, Lord, we give you thanks that you continue to guide us and continue to inspire us to be the people you call us to be. Lord, in this season, in this time, as we have finished an election time, we are a nation with
many different agendas with actions and reactions and inspirations and depressions and with all of the competitive elements that can divide us. We ask you, guide us that we might turn from those and be the people you call us to be in Christ. We ask you, Lord, to be with us individually in each of our trials and tribulations, even as we seek to be more attentive to include you in all of our celebrations and joys. Be with us, Lord. Guide us, inspire us. Be with those far from here. Be with our veterans. Be with those who are serving. Lord God, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your gifts of offerings. We are continuing to find little things that a mature church, notice I didn't use the word older, a mature church does have little glitches, and we continue to work at those, but we're keeping things running, and your gifts help us do that. Your gifts also help do the ministry that reaches beyond this church, and we are grateful for that. Thank you for your offering. We will not be passing the plates, as is our new tradition. I turn to Holly for our scripture. Did you want me to get the printout, or are you reading it out loud? Good, good.
All right, the gospel lesson, the scripture gospel lesson, is taken from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19, which is on page 80 in the New Testament in your pew Bible. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place? And he said, Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Please join me in singing hymn 348. Softly and tenderly.
Watching for
I invite you to be seated. I forgot to announce earlier, this was the Western Jurisdictional meeting was last week. The Western Jurisdiction is one of the dividing groups or one of the levels of groupings of the United Methodist Church. It is the election. It is where elections of bishops occur. You might be interested to know that when a jurisdiction elects the bishops, they only elect bishops for their jurisdiction. So we have the bishops that will be in our jurisdiction. We've elected a handful, quite a few bishops. There was question that usually the newest elected bishops, one of them comes to be the bishop of our area. But in this case, our Bishop Karen Oliveto has been returned here. So just a bit of information for you there. Some other things have happened, but I don't have all of those details. I was not able to participate even virtually. So we'll keep up with that. And our contact there is Ms. Melba. And we try and keep you abreast of interesting things going on in that regard. Did you hear in the news that they spent $9.5 billion on advertising for this election? What we could do with $9.5 billion. We're a little bit askew here in one person's opinion. But I do hope you all voted. I hope you all voted. And we did some amazing things. We voted that all children in school will get lunches, get food, will be fed. Amen. Amen. I remember as a kid being hungry before lunch in my class. Room was right next to the kitchen, and they would bake bread, and we'd be sitting in there, and my stomach would get up and run down the hall trying to get, anyway, Christ's grace of compassion continues. And that's one of those things that we decided to do, and I'm glad. I would like us to take our political affiliations and treat them like sports affiliations. Some of you might be Broncos fans, some of you might be Raiders fans, but we get along. You win, it's like a Rockies game. If they don't win, it's a shame, but you go out to the ball game. And afterwards, you have a tailgate party or before, and you get along. You might just kind of rough each other up verbally and harass each other and tease each other, but we get along around those divisions. Maybe we should do that around politics. What do you think? Try and be a little more amicable, a little bit more the peacemakers that Christ has called us to be. It's a job. It's something that is graphically needed in our society today. I think we all know that. We all see that. Everybody's aware of it. How to get there, who to get there, and maybe us. I have to lift one interesting phenomena, and it references the picture on the cover of your bulletin. Did you look at it? I thought I cited it. Yes. Okay. Carlo, tell me, James, how do you pronounce that? Saracini? He just went to Barcelona, went to Spain, so I was going to pick on him to pronounce Spanish for me. 1610, the martyring of St. Cilicia. Here's where it comes from. In our gospel lesson, as you were listening, and I know you're all listening very attentively, but Jesus said, they will put some of you to death. But only a sentence or so later it says, but not a hair on your head will perish. Does that strike any of you as being a contradiction? I mean, you won't die, but you won't perish. You're going to die, but you're not going to perish. Here is that image that for me helps us put together what we know and understand as Christians. This body, this mortal body, we all know. As each of us gets a little older and a little bit grayer and a little bit slower, we know that bodies wear on. This mortal body will someday have to put on the immortal. We have to do that. Some of you young, as Bo and Hadley and you kids back in the back, you're not yet aware of this thing called aging yet. But it'll come to you. Someday you'll look back and say, I remember that sermon that Peter preached. Actually, I don't think they ever will, but that's neither here nor there either. So here is St. Cecilia. She was a woman who did not want to get married. She was forced into marriage to a man that did not agree with her. She was a very devout Christian, and he was not. And it was a struggle, and yet they survived that, and he was converted to Christianity. But they continued to resist the government and the politics that were about, and she was eventually martyred. They were both slain. But there you see on our right-hand side a man in darkness and the sword low down in the photograph. Yes, the sword came. But you see above and to the left, you see that she did not perish. We know these things. We know that our loved ones are in God's arms. And so we understand that perishing is not something that Jesus allows. This body may die, but we live with the Lord. We rest in His arms. We are inviolate. It is a wonderful gift. God takes care of us. That ought to be an amen. 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 God takes care of us. The whole passage in Luke is intriguing. It's all about the end times. I haven't seen as much push lately, but I remember even in the 80s, there was a big push to try and read how Revelation, the book of Revelation, and Daniel and some of the other apocryphal literature and apocalyptic literature, that they were all coded language, you know, the decoding the Bible and decoding these things to find out the secrets of things, including the secret of the end of times. If we knew the day that the times were coming to an end, if we knew the day that we would come to an end, we would maybe change our behavior a little bit. I would not pay my last set of bills. I had a professor who, he and his wife took a huge vacation every year. They took out a loan and went on vacation every year. Traveled all over the world, wonderful thing. And he said, someday I will die and they'll be sitting with that loan. It was his hope that he could be able to do that. I don't remember whether that ever worked out that way. I haven't been able to contact him in decades. But the people were focused on the end times. Think about it a minute. The life was pretty harsh. We don't really pause to recognize that life was pretty harsh. They didn't have cell phones. Kids, they didn't have cell phones. Can you imagine not having a cell phone? Was there ever a time? Have you ever gotten in the car lately and you've been halfway somewhere and you thought, oh, I left my cell phone at home? Did you go back and get it? I tell you, I remember as a kid traveling all over the place and never having a phone or anything. Traveling over the mountains between Grand Junction and Denver, which we did fairly commonly when I lived over there, you had to know where all the different places were that you could pull off and get to a phone if you needed to call or tell someone something. They had CB radios, good buddy. But they didn't have cell phones back then. They barely had shoes or clothes. They didn't have toilet paper. Remember during the pandemic when we were getting short on toilet paper, what a crisis that was for everyone? Yeah, Montgomery Ward's catalogs were not here. It was just a tough situation. But think about that. More importantly, think about the people of Jesus' time. They didn't have medicine. Simple things, bacterial infections, itches, rashes, simple things, and complex things, kidney transplants. Doctors doing amazing things. Men and women, wonderful healers. And none of that was there. At sanitation, there was none. Clean water, there was none. Think about those times. Those were hard times. And with those hard times, a lot of people were thinking, boy, I'm looking forward to getting up there where it's nice and at ease and I don't have to be amongst all that struggle. We can understand that. Now, life today isn't quite as much of a burden. Although there are days when I'm trying to get out of bed and getting the old bones moving again that I think, come on, you can do it. It's like starting an old engine. A little more choke, a little more gas. Come on, we'll get there. But life is kind of pleasant on and off. Think about Thanksgiving coming up. You're going to have a clan gathering. You're going to have a big to-do, a get-together with everybody. Think about the food on the table. Think about the food for lunch. I shouldn't have said that. That's the end of you thinking about the sermon, isn't it? But we're not in such a big rush to get to the end of times today. Matter of fact, I remember talking with a fella about 10 years ago. He was retired, and he and his wife were retired. And I said, I just cannot wait for winter to get done with and get on to spring and summer. And he said, oh, I don't want to rush. He said, every day is just, we got to just live every day and just really love every day. I've been trying to do that. I'm not sure I've been doing such a good job at it, but I'm trying. But the reality is that in these days, we have much to do. We have been given gifts and graces. Some of you might be thinking, what gifts and graces do I have? Colleen is over here. She has that ability with her fingers on the keyboard. Awesome. Miss Diana sitting over here, she has that ability with her, and it's just it's a gift from God. It's something, not everybody can do those things, and we celebrate the gifts and graces we've been given, and we have much to do. And the end of time should not be as much of a concern to us as what can we do while we're here. We're here to do God's work. I'd love to have found out what all was going on when he Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, "For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work." My mother's sister-in-law would twiddle her thumbs. As a kid growing up, I didn't even know what that was, but it drove my mother crazy. My Aunt Verda would twiddle her thumbs. And she would sit and do that for hours, sitting there talking. I mean, if you're sitting drinking a cup of coffee, you can twiddle your thumbs as well as not, but it drove my mother crazy. I never figured out why. It was a sign of idleness to her, I suppose. But apparently there were some in the church that felt that they were called and blessed and doing God's work and that they shouldn't have to do anything else. I guess that's true in some places even today. And that's true of some places in society. But Paul goes on, "Now such persons we commend and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right." So that's the theme. That's the title of the sermon. Do. Do. It's easy to just sit and not. But we are the people called by Christ to do. I am proud of Burns. I have to tell you that I have been a part of a number of churches over my career. And each of them, some churches have more and some less, but they tend to have at least a couple of events in the course of the year that are all about the church getting together with the church and having a little get-together. You know, a special picnic, celebration, family gathering sort of thing. And that's nice and that's wonderful and the food is always great, but what does that have to do with being the Christians called to do? Not to take care of ourselves, but to do, to do for the world, to reach out. What can we do? Some of us are thinking, well, our numbers are getting so thin now, there's nothing we can do. Au contraire. God looks down on us with one eye cocked, saying, "Oh, really? What is it we can do?" We need to think about what those are. We need to pray. We need to consider. What is it we can do? And I do believe that Burns has much to offer. I am not schooled and taught in knowing how to do that. I'm about building churches. That's what they taught me. Evangelism, bringing people in. And that may not be where we're at, as much as what we can do and how we do it. So here we are to do. To us much has been given. To us much will be asked. The sermon is straightforward. Do. Amen? Let's sing it. I think we have a video. Do we have a video, Paya? Let's do it, if you will stand for the video.
You're watching Life Tree Kids.
Jesus as my Savior, you take Him too. I took took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. Way beyond the blue. To Lord, oh to remember me. To Lord, oh to remember me. To Lord, oh to Lord.
Well, there we go. We could do it at the car wash or a dog wash. Or we had a leak in the water system. We had holy water, remember? We could have used that water to do a holy car wash. What do you think? Do. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go out into the world and do what God calls you to do. Amen? Join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen.